Everybody yell, shift!
Shift!
Amen. You guys ready to shift?
Yeah.
All right, in the book of James, that book is known to be the book of wisdom in the New Testament. So James, he writes and gives us wisdom. And since we are the 67th book of the Bible, we going to get some wisdom from James. James chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse number 19, although the whole chapter is good. Man. All right. So in this particular part of James, it is going to talk to us about trials and tribulations. Some of us call it trouble. But you know, in life things happen, and we have become accustomed to every time something happens that we see is bad, the first thing that we want to do is find out whose fault it is, because our human nature wants to put blame on somebody for no matter what it is. Even the disciples, when they were with Jesus, and there was a man that was blind. So the disciples said to Jesus, "Who sinned? Was it his mother? Or was it his daddy?" Yeah, Jesus said to them, "Some stuff is just done for the will of God. It's not always somebody's fault. You are missing it." And so what he was teaching them was literally, he was teaching them how to stay in a praise moment no matter what's going on in your life. Because if you focused on who they were with, they wouldn't have cared whose problem, who generated the problem, because they were with Jesus, the problem solver, but they were still trying to place blame somewhere. We have to understand that God himself,
yeah,
can fix anything at any time. God is awesome. He's omnipotent. He omniscient means he knows everything. And he's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. He has a good resume. Because if he was able to fix you, as messed up as you were.
Right. Ouch.
He can do anything.
That's right.
And so James in this chapter, he starts talking about, first of all, profiting from your trials, and then the perspective of the trial. And then he deals with loving God under the trial. You know, when sometimes you, God, what's up with this? And you even get mad at God. Anybody in here ever get mad at God before? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes we wonder, God, how are you allowing this to happen? You must not know what you're doing. because you said I'm supposed to be a blessing and I shall be blessed. This is killing me. Just want to make sure I'm talking to the right folks tonight. And so James really begins to teach from the perspective so that the mind will shift. So even when Jesus came to earth, it was a paradigm shift. A paradigm shift is when it changes everything. In an earthly term, it's almost like when DNA came out, that changed the whole way that medicine is they operate in medicine. They can literally find out who the best candidate is for the transplant by the DNA. It changed everything. As a matter of fact, even the prosecutors had to redig up files because when DNA came out, it was a paradigm shift. It changed the way everything was done. So when Jesus came down to earth, it was a paradigm shift. So the people could no longer focus on the world. They focus on the word. Somebody say shift. The world does not own you. The world does not have any power over you. The world does not control you. But somebody shout shift. The word, when you shift into the word from the world, then everything begins to line up because you no longer belong to the world. You belong to the word. But the reason why you have been so frustrated is because you have allowed the world to hold you, and the world cannot hold you, so you don't fit. And you're not supposed to stay in the world. You're supposed to stay in the word, because when the word came, it changed everything. So then your trials are there to help you. Let's read a few verses. I'm going to read a few verses and then we'll come back. It says, verse 19. Yeah. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That's enough right there. We can teach right there all night long. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Somebody shout the word.
The word.
Then Jay says, but be doers of the word, and not just hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful hearers, but doers of the works, this one will be blessed in what? Ooh, he does. Isn't that good? If I was going to lift out any verse, that one verse right there, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's time to stop hearing it. It's time to stop quoting it. It is time to start doing it. Somebody shout shift.
Yeah.
I want to look at some of the struggles. We're going to get into the text in a minute, but some of the struggles that we have. And Paul writes to us and tells us that in Romans that this battle is not against flesh and blood,
right,
but it's against the principality. But we are continually wanting to point a finger at one another. Therefore, you are operating in a world system, and you cannot operate in a world system and survive. If God has chosen you and changed you and his spirit now dwells in you, you are going to have to operate in word, not in world. The world bickers and complains and fusses and gets mad and gets jealous and acts crazy and acts foolish and gets prideful and puffed up and acts all kind of ways. And we the church, to bring the world into the church and maybe act worldly and become puffed up. And as soon as somebody does something wrong to you, you want to start talking about what they did to you and then tell somebody else about what they did to you. And now you are causing problems within the church system, which is the word, because you are a direct conflict against who you are. And we wonder why stuff is happening. It's because we have not shifted. We can talk about it. We could talk a mean game. We can even be on top of things on Sunday morning for about 2 hours. Right. Wednesday night, we got an hour of power. We good. Oh, but there is coming a Thursday morning. Some of us, Wednesday night, leave here. Stuff happens. And we have got to stop allowing stuff that happens change who we are. You do not belong to you. You belong to Christ, the living word. And if the living word owns you, the living word should operate you. And you say you don't steal. Every time you do it your way, you have stolen the will of God, because he has given you his will for you to operate his way, and you have stolen the car and you're operating your way, and this vehicle don't belong to you anymore. You didn't know you were stealing. Can we go home? Not yet. Let's go. Somebody read verse 19.
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
Okay. He says, therefore, my brethren, let every man. Now get this. In the text, I was like, why? They're talking about trials. And then all of a sudden, and he's talking about being deceived. And all of a sudden, he says, but every man be quick to listen, because he's given us wisdom. You know how you can get so educated and you can know it all, and you pop up on somebody, and before they can get their problem out, you done spilled out every solution you got, because you know everything. You done learned 3 scriptures. And you go to church twice a month, and now you got all the answers. And we think because we know so much that those are the answers. But listen, ministry is not knowing it all and how many scriptures you can quote. If you're going to be a true minister, then you're going to have to be able to hear. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And listen, if it says be quick to listen, because if you listen, then you may not say the thing that you was going to say in the first place. And most of us, when we hear something right away, we want to hurry up and get what we got in us out of us, because we want to prove we know it. That's called pride. But the Bible says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. And if you can master listening, you have achieved a lot of wisdom. Because the Bible says a fool runs his mouth. I guarantee you, you go to class and sit up under a professor, and if you start running your mouth, you will not hear what he's saying. But if you listen well, you will get the wisdom coming from there, and the wisdom you already had, you can attach that wisdom and go on with greater wisdom. But if you just want to run your mouth all the time and want to be right all the time, that is not wise at all. Being right is not wisdom. There's a whole lot of people that are right on their way to hell.
Yeah, tell the truth.
Being righteous is wisdom. So James says, be slow to speak. Slow to speak. Now I want to turn, call on King Solomon in his wisdom. King Solomon says, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Wait. James says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. If somebody says something to you that offends you, you listen, most of us take offense and be ready to attack back. Either you will attack the person back or you'll go and tell somebody else about what they did. It is not wise to spread that kind of stuff. What James is saying, that is not wise at all. He says, we have to shift from all of that because we are working the world's agenda. We don't really realize that we get pimped by the world when we start spreading junk. Oh, this is going on. That's going on. We are so quick to begin to speak, but the Bible says, be quick to listen. James says, why? Because when you're listening, you have time to think. See, and up here is where our soulish realm, our memories are. You remember when you used to cuss people out. You do. Some of us say, oh, don't make me backslide. Yeah, because you got memories of it. You wasn't always saying. I know you talk sweet now, but you wasn't always talking like that. You wasn't always as patient as you are. If it wasn't for God's grace, you'd be flying off at the handle. And so we're learning how to shift, right? And so King Solomon says, so as a man thinketh in his heart. In other words, slow down. You don't have to be in a hurry to say nothing. Let it process. Pass your mind. Because he says, think in your heart. How does Jesus want me to respond? Sometimes you don't have to say anything at all. You know how you say, oh, so-and-so just lied on me. Well, if they lied on you, why you got to talk about it? You're the one spreading it. That lie would have stayed right where it was. And you done took it somewhere else. Because we don't realize that the system is there, to manipulate us. It is called deception. And so we get this wisdom. So as a man thinketh in his heart. In other words, if it comes out, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to let my heart tell me what to say. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so then you'll begin to be a doer. But if you come right out and always have something to say, then you are operating in foolishness. So James is teaching us that we need to shift. Take time. Don't just respond. Wait on the Lord and do it God's way. Do you remember when they were saying, oh, Jesus, well, why don't you do this? Hey, Jesus, what do you have to say for yourself? Bible said he didn't say nothing. Why? Because you don't have to say nothing to operate in the word. The word will operate all by itself. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, then it says, slow to wrath. Now, we really got to work on this area. Yeah, I could have got an amen 100 times in here. Now, if the Bible is telling us to be slow to wrath, the reason why he's telling us is because the enemy is going to do everything he can to make you mad. You ever been having a good day? Just having a good day. And all of a sudden, something comes from nowhere. And then you mad. And this is what I got. Then you get mad at being mad. Anybody ever get mad at being mad? Didn't want to be mad, but you mad anyway. And then you're trying to get out of being mad. And you can't find your way out because you keep thinking about what made you mad. Well, and Philippians says, think on these things, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of good report, think on these things. So listen, you have control, and we got to stop blaming what happened or what somebody else did to dictate our behavior, because they're not your savior. Jesus is your savior and Jesus is your Lord, and he should be dictating how you behave, not based on what somebody else says or does. You gotta base it on the word. I'm the living word. Somebody sent me something the other day. I wake up in the morning, I always try to get something in the word. Somebody sent me something in the text that said, when you wake up this morning, you determine that you're going to be happy, and don't let the world dictate what you're going to be. You make the determination what you're going to be today. We wake up sometime and let stuff control our. How can you belong to Jesus and he's Lord and all powerful, and somebody come along and make you act crazy? The reason why is because you are not operating in the wisdom of God. You are operating in the foolishness of this world. And the reason why you're doing it, because you have been in the world system for a long time. And now it's time to shift. It's time. It's time for listen, you ought to be different on purpose. In other words, the world's going to throw stuff at you. Listen, bake a pie. Bake a cake. Get ready for the enemy to do something to make you mad. Get ready for it. And when that person comes to make you mad, because you know they're going to do it. I'm going to just tell you right now. The enemy's not going to stop because you're the word. He's going to send stuff at you. Go buy some See's candy. Just put it in your car with you. Get a backpack. I don't know. And when somebody do something to offend you, say, here. I want to bless you. You want to be a world changer? Do something different. Show them how the word really works. Listen, wait. Luke chapter 5, I think that's it. We need to put that on the board. 44, Luke 5 and 44. I'm going to look for it too. I might have the wrong one. Okay. That's not it. Look, turn to 6 then. Okay. That's Matthew 5 and 44. I'm sorry. Turn to Matthew. It was Luke 6:27. Matthew 44. Are we there? Back up 1 to 43. Okay, so I was telling you, get ready to bless somebody. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Right? You heard that. Right? When you was in the world, did you hang out with your enemy? Did you hate him? Yeah, you did. You hated your enemy. Right? The ones that didn't like you, you didn't like them. And then you formed a posse and told your posse not to like them. Can we just be real about it? That's what we did. That was worldly living. That doesn't work in the kingdom. What does it say? If you have, it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's how we were trained in the world. Somebody say shift.
Yes.
Now go to 44. Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. I got to pause right there. Because loving your enemy is hard enough. Now blessing the one that's cursing you, now that's a challenge. But that is what Jesus says for us to do. So then, if that's what he says for us to do, why are we kicking against the goads? What I mean is, why are we going against what he has told us to do? If he's Lord of our life, why are we fighting that fight instead of blessing those that are cursing us?
Amen.
Somebody say shift.
Shift.
We want to bless those who are blessing us. That's cool. Don't stop doing that. But you really want to, listen, you really want to shake this kingdom and turn this world upside down? Then follow the word of God and forget about what the world has trained you. The world does not hold you anymore. The word is holding you. The word will work for you.
Yes, sir.
It says, do good to those who hate you. Man. Are we being challenged tonight?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Shifting hurts. Huh? Doing something a long time, and all of a sudden you got to do it a whole nother way? And you still, they still haven't got the punishment you think they deserve. And now you got to turn around and love them? And do good for them? Now get this. He is Lord of your life. Say Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord. He is the living word. Okay? So if he's the living word and he's telling us what to do. Listen, if he tells you what to do and you do it, listen, it will bless your life. And some, I hear some of them say, oh yeah, but I'm a work in progress. We all are work in progress. But now you're hearing the word and you've heard it before. So stop being a hearer and start being a doer. Because when you start doing the word will start working. The reason why the word hasn't been working is because you're not working word. You only want to pick and choose what you want to work for you when you want it to work for you. But you got to work in the word all the time and be consistent in him. And it says, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Not these prayers that I used to pray either. Lord, get them. Run them over with a truck. I'm telling you, I was out there. But we need to pray earnestly for them. Let me tell you why. Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross? We read Jesus was on the cross. And you know, They were killing him. They had beat him all night. He was stretched wide. He's on the cross. And he says, Father, forgive them. Why? Because they don't know what they're doing. In other words, what he was saying is, Father, forgive them because you're the creator of everything. You're all powerful. You can wipe them out right now. And they really don't know that you're dwelling in me. That's when people are messing with you. They really don't know who dwells in you. Father, forgive them. Because if they knew that I was yours and that vengeance are yours and that you won't protect yours, they wouldn't be bothering little old me. This is the word at work. But what happens is when something comes against us, we get mad. We start getting pointing fingers, talking about what they did, how they did it. And we're operating in a world system. And Jesus, the word, is at no effect. All right, let's go back to James so we can get out of here. Is this helping anybody? James chapter number 1. Let me get back over there. Okay. It says, for the wrath of a man. Is that verse 20? Somebody read that. For the wrath of a man worketh not the righteousness of God. Listen, so our wrath does not work towards righteousness. So when our anger comes out, we are going against righteousness. And so then, listen, so then we have to work against that anger, against that madness. Where we want to hold on to. Do you know that being mad makes you sick? I got so mad one time. I was so mad at my 15-year-old daughter. I was mad. I was so mad. My chest started hurting. I ended up in the hospital. I said, that ain't never happening again. I got four more daughters. And they ain't making me mad. They might mess up, but I'm not getting mad. Because mad don't help you. It works against the will of God. And sometimes you get mad, you just want to stay there. It's just stuck. It's like just driving in a car first gear. Car just making all kind of noise. They're going. But if you shift it, it'll go further. And that's how we are. Just, shift. Every time you got the you know it's time to shift. Says it. Listen, it does not produce righteousness, the righteousness of God. God is producing that in you. And when we go with the world system, we are fighting against the will of God, which holds us complacent. We cannot get to the promises of God while we're fighting against them. 21, let's go. Okay, it says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. So then, when we're not, listen, we're not doing the word, we have all this anger, and all of this stuff begins to build up. We start thinking evil thoughts. Evil thoughts don't come when you're happy. You get mad. Been mad before? I'm going to slice those tires. You know, back in the day, before you were saved, people, you get mad, you be thinking crazy. But now you got the word in you, and when you get mad, I'm going to tell you something. You start thinking evil. That's why James is teaching. Don't go there. And if you get there, hurry up and quickly shift out of there. Because when you're there, you have given the enemy a portal to get to you. That's how those evil thoughts come in, because you just open up the door. But when you shift, it closes the door and the righteousness of God begins to cover you. And you don't start thinking evil. Then you start thinking about how evil you were and how God saved you. And then you start praying for them because God helped you. You believe he'll help them too. It just switches everything around. That's the word at work. It says, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Now get this, with meekness, okay? Now, as it relates to meekness, we're going to talk about humility, okay? Because you're receiving it in such a way that it's humbling you. It's meek. Not, get ye behind me, Satan. That's not meekness. The devil is a lie. That's not meekness. That's not meekness. I'm just, this is basic, that, get ye behind me, Satan. That's all, what is that? That don't work. It's funny, but it happens. But that's not the word. It says with meekness, in all humility. You know, you should be thinking about being a blessing to whoever it is. And if you can't be it, let me tell you something that pleases God. If you can't be the blessing, but you're meek enough to say, Lord, help me. He says, I'm a very present help in the time of need. Lord, help me to be a blessing, because right now, my mind is thinking crazy. And I don't want my mind to win, because you said I already have victory in you. I know you dwell in me. So now let your spirit manifest so that I can't even be seen. That your word would just be seen. When you begin to go back into the word, you're going back into the spirit. Now the righteousness of God begins to overtake the whole atmosphere. That's how we run this word system, by being a doer. When we start being a doer of the word, and I'm not talking about, it's Friday night, I'm gonna put my Bible away. No, that don't work. You know I gotta get turned up on Fridays. For real? Okay, I'm not saying anything about, you know, drinking. Do whatever you do. That's okay. But don't do it to the point it changes who he called you to be. If you feel that you getting ready to do it, you got to put the Bible away, then you shouldn't do it at all. Because I'm not saying that nobody can't drink. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't let nothing change who you are. He has shifted you out of the world. We have all power right now. When the day of Pentecost fully come, you shall receive power. I got a question. Has the day of Pentecost came? Do you have power? Now, let me explain to you why we're not operating in the power of God. It's because we have compromised his word. And we can no longer operate in a state of compromise. We have to be a doer of the word. I know it might be tough. As a matter of fact, battling your own will is tough. Paul says, I beat my flesh daily, but I'm going to stay in the shift. What's more important to you, pleasing you or pleasing God? Now, this is a challenging word tonight. And the reason why is because the world is taking people out of the church in handfuls, and they going to hell in a handbasket because of compromise. Do you see the agenda of the world? The world is trying to pull people into pleasing yourself. And churches have adopted it. And compromise, because they don't want to be doers of the word. They want to be pleasers of man. But I'd rather please God any day. As many times as man has let me down, I've made my choice. I'm just going to please God. When you decide that I want to please God, then you'll start pleasing God. And you got to stay right there. We only got through three verses. But a lot of time it's not the amount. I believe the Lord has really challenged us tonight. And I'm going to tell you, when we come together and make a decision, when I get up, I'm going to address God and I'm going to ask him to help me. I'm going to make a declaration whose day it is and who I belong to. And on that day, I'm going to get through that whole day pleasing God. And everybody going to know that there is a God in Brentwood, that there is a God in Antioch, that there is a God. And everybody's going to know that runs up on me that there is a God. When you make up your mind, one day at a time, we will start changing the world system and let the word take place where it's belongs. We own the world. We have more power than the world. It's sad that we are not taking the authority that we have. We can take this word and change the world. And let me tell you something. I don't care what agenda that the world is on. I don't care who the president is. You want to know why? Because if it's Donald Trump, if it's Bill Gates, if it's Donald Duck, it doesn't change who God is. And the word says that God puts in position who he wants to be in position so that he can do his will. And no man can stop the will of God, because God is all powerful. And whoever God allowed to be the president, amen. I'm with it, because God don't make no bad choices.
That's it, Pastor. That's it, Pastor. That's it.
Listen, our conversations need to be about God's agenda. Okay? People told me, well, what about this? What about that happened? I say, what do I have to worry about that for? I belong to him. I belong to God. If I belong to God, if God be for me, oh, but you lose your job. Goodbye. Thank you.
That's it, Pastor.
Why are you so happy? Because God always has something for me.
Yes, sir.
And what God has for me, this is what you got to get in. What God has for you, no one can stop it.
Amen.
Isn't that good? Are we encouraged tonight? It's just shifting that mindset. Okay? God chose you. God trusts you. God has empowered you to be a world changer. And how are we going to do it? By simply doing the word. We do the word, the rest will take care of itself. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand of praise.